Well, hello, this is Reverend Leslie here with your audio service for this week. At our service in St. Martin's this weekend, I won't be there because I'm going to be over at Wootton doing the family service there, but you're going to have the delightful Reverend Rick Williams, who is coming up to us from Charfield, Wickwar, etc., to come and take the Holy Communion service at St. Martin's at 9:30. So if you are able to get along and meet Rick, that would be absolutely wonderful. But let's begin our service today with just a moment of quiet reflection, just thinking about the week and what's been going on for each of us. So maybe just sit and just close your eyes or just make yourself nice and still for a few moments. So Lord Jesus, we come before you on this special audio service and we bring to you all our trials and tribulations, all our joys and expectations. And we pray that we can open our hearts to you and listen to your word and listen to the words that Rick has written in his sermon for this weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read the gospel reading, which is going to come from Luke 12, starting to read at verse 32. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For there where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, for that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. So in our reading that we've just heard, Jesus is calling his followers to a dedicated lifestyle. Last week, we heard him warning us of the perils of getting too attached to worldly riches through the parable of the rich fool, a theme continued in the first paragraph of today's reading. It was a reminder of where our priorities should be. That question of priorities is continued as he turns to another parable, the parable of the servants who wait for the master to return. The great era of household servants has largely gone now, well, almost, but we know and maybe have watched Upstairs, Downstairs, many of us, many, many years ago, or Downton Abbey. That's one of the ones that I keep revisiting on Netflix when I feel the need. Anyway, it was set up of a century ago. And actually, that would have been a very similar way of living as it was in Jesus's day. must have been strange being in a household, you know, and being a servant, very different to the world that we live in. We often use the term waiting upon as a term to describe such service, and the term retainer is often used to describe such a servant. Though there would have been some routine tasks, much of that role involved, it must have been a lot of waiting around for the upstairs people to call the downstairs people to do something for them. And whilst there's no doubt that at times the work was very hard and demanding, yet there must also have been prolonged periods of idleness. But that rather frustrating form of idleness where you couldn't go and do something of your own choice or get involved in anything that might commit your time because you had to be available the moment the bell rang in the servants' hall. Particularly when the upstairs people were away, there must have been a strong temptation for the downstairs people to play truant, to use their apparently free time to go and do something more interesting and enjoyable. No doubt it was the job of the more senior household staff to prevent this, but they, for their part, must have been susceptible to the same temptations at times. And if the senior servants bunked off, it was a fair bet that the junior ones were going to do the same also. But, just excuse me because my doorbell's ringing, but someone else will answer it. But, if so, every now and then they must have been caught out. The master returns unexpectedly and the staff are not at their posts. They are caught off guard and have failed in their calling, for their calling is to be there for when they are needed. It's very inconvenient having to hang about on the off chance, but that is the nature of the job. That is what the servants are being paid to do. In this version of the parable, I am happy to report it is what they do. I always like it when I say do. The master gets home and finds the servants all at their posts, ready to meet him. And in these pre-mobile phone days, there can't have been anything about informing people ahead that he was coming. They were at their posts when he arrived because they had been at their posts in his absence. The master recognised this faithfulness and rewards the servants in a way which would have seemed extreme and out of place both in Downton Abbey days and in the first century Palestine. He acts as a servant to them, waiting on them hand and foot, serving them good food. Jesus tells the parable to prepare his disciples. Until now, it has been the master who has been present, but things are about to change. Luke sets the telling of this parable during Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem, which puts it within a fortnight of his crucifixion. Matthew, indeed, places it later still, which Jesus is actually in Jerusalem, and that would only be days to go before his crucifixion. No longer will Jesus be constantly at the side of his disciples. He will be separated from them by his death. After the resurrection, he will appear to them only sporadically. And after his ascension, he will be with them no more. He will be the absent master, but the master who has promised that one day he will return. Their task is to be ready when he does. When he returns, he should find them going and doing the tasks that he had set them to do. The first disciples seem to have thought that this would have taken in their own, I know, they would have thought it would have taken in and happened in their own lifetimes, but it did not. And the second period of waiting, the period of the absence of the master, is the period in which we now live and in which all generations of the church so far have lived. You could say this parable defines the church and its calling. The calling of the church is to be those servants who stick to their callings in the absence of Jesus, without fear of being caught out when he should return. It is a frustrating calling, but one which truly identifies who we really are. No doubt, when Lord so-and-so was in the house, all the servants were on their best behaviour. You could really only tell which were the good ones and which were the bad ones when he was away, because at the best test of a law-abiding driver is not how fast he drives through the speed camera, but how fast he drives when he is confident that the camera is there. In other words, it is a great test of our priorities. Those servants whose priority is service, even when the master is not around. Just like those motorists who drive carefully anyway, don't need to fear the master's return or the unexpected speed camera trap. Jesus goes on to do something sudden. He suddenly changes the parable, but to one which makes a related point. You don't guard your house against a thief only at the times when you're being burgled, because burglars, rather inconveniently, don't make appointments. If you want to prevent yourself being burgled, you need to take and make precautions at all times, just so as to be protected at the precise moment he happens to call. And by and large, that is what we do, because we care about our possessions. I think we all do. And don't want to lose them. Our care, even when we are not actually being burgled, is a sign of our priority, a priority to keep hold of our possessions. Here's another parable. Cats, or step cats, as Rick calls them, as they were for him, Mary and his own, they only acquired them through their marriage. Anyway, he has come to realise that cats really do what they like and when they like. And if they feel like being stroked, they'll come and be stroked. And if they don't, oh, they definitely won't. Their concentration span is, Rick suggests, almost zero. If something more interesting comes along, they'll turn to that, except just occasionally. Those times are when they have brought a mouse into the house and it has escaped under a bit of furniture. And then they will stake out that piece of furniture with scrupulous, dedicated care for hours. They will lurk, motionless, hidden if possible, for hours. And because cats have a priority, and it is mice, because mice matter to them, they will hang around indefinitely, on the off chance of catching one. And if God is our priority, we will put the same dedication into fulfilling the calling that God has for us. And the servant put into waiting up for his master, and the householder put into guarding his house, and that my stepcats put into ambushing a mouse. And if we do that, we do not need fear when Jesus comes, whether for us that is the ultimate second coming or the reckoning with God that will come at the end of our own individual lives. And what a remarkable reward this parable offers us. A God who shows the same dedication to us that we will show to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I'm going to sing to you, O Jesus, I Have Promised. O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend.
I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still, above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul. O Jesus, thou hast promised to all that follow thee, that where thou art in glory, there shalt thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend. Oh, let me see thy footmarks and in them plant thine own. My hope to follow duly is in my strength alone. Oh, guide me, call me, draw me, uphold me to the end, and then in heaven receive me, my Saviour and my friend. Oh, then in heaven receive me, my Saviour and my friend.
So we come to our time of prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we bring ourselves before you. We come before you as your servants. Help us wait patiently and trust in your Holy Spirit to guide and support us. We think about our own church community. How do we continue to be faithful? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray now for the world, for the conflict that covers the globe. Lord, we pray for peace and healing of countries torn apart by war. We pray for the innocent lives caught in conflict. We pray for justice and for mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, we now pray for those who are part of our community and our lives. We pray especially for those who are injured, for those who are suffering from ill health, for those who are close to death. Lord, we pray for your peace and your love to envelop them right now, and that your comfort will touch those around them. We pray for all who care for others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Now we come to a time of quietness where we name before you, Lord, those we have loved, and that are no longer in this world. Lord, we pray for their lives to have never been without purpose, for us to remember them and the significance and the importance that they had to us. So we give thanks for their lives and we commit them, each and every one of them, to you in this prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we now say the words of the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So it's been good to spend some time with you in this audio service. I wish you all the very, very best for the forthcoming week. And if you have time to go along and listen to Rick and the sermon you've just heard, but just to go along and welcome him and be part of our communion service this coming Sunday at St Martin's Church at 9:30, please do join them there on that time. God bless you all. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.